I'm going to have you open your Bibles today to the book of 1 John. I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, I'd like very much, if you don't mind, if you'll get your Bible and follow as I read these scriptures and comment on them. 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, here's the subject. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, my friends, the living God has chosen to use men like you and me, to preach the gospel and to teach His Word. That's what the Lord's chosen, and that's His good pleasure, and that's according to His purpose, that men like you and me preach His Word and preach the gospel. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, if a person hears from God, if a person learns of God, it's not going to be by a vision or a dream or some type of revelation, but he's going to hear from God by the hearing of the Word preached. Now, that's what Scripture says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 says this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? If a person hears from God in this day. Now, there was a day when God spoke directly to the prophets. That's what He said in Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through His Son. And if a man hears from God or learns of God, it's not going to be by a vision or a dream. It's going to be by the hearing of the Word of God. Now, that's just so. That's illustrated at Pentecost. Here, all these people had assembled at Pentecost from all the different nations, and God would have them hear His Word and hear His gospel. And how did He purpose for them to hear it? Peter preached to them. The apostles preached to them. God even gave these men the ability to speak in other languages so that men from every nation heard the gospel, they said, in their own tongue, in their own language, but they heard it from a man. Angels didn't come down and preach the gospel. Men preached the gospel, and that's how they heard the gospel. Cornelius. Here was a man who had prayed to God and asked God to visit him and asked God to reveal Himself to him. And what did the Lord do? He sent Peter down there to Cornelius to preach to him. Lydia. God would save Lydia. God would open her heart. But how did He do it? He sent Paul down to preach the gospel. And as Paul preached to her, the Scripture says God opened her heart and she attended to the things spoken to her by the Apostle Paul. You take the Philippian jailer. Paul taught him the gospel. Take the Ethiopian eunuch. Here was a man who was reading Isaiah the prophet. He'd been up to Jerusalem to try to find out something about God, something about a revelation of God, and he learned nothing. And on his way home, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And God sent a preacher. God sent Philip to him. And Philip joined himself to the chariot, walking along beside it. And the man was here reading Isaiah 53. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He was reading the Bible. He was reading a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, how can I? How can I? Except some man show me. And so Philip climbed up in the chariot with him, and from that Scripture preached to him Jesus. This is what our Lord said to His disciples. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that refuses to hear you refuses to hear me. So that's what I'm saying. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And if a man or a woman hears from God, they're going to hear from God through a man preaching God's word. Paul wrote to Timothy and told him to preach the word. He told him again in another place, he said, and you commit this word to faithful men, teaching them, instructing them, that they might instruct others. He said also to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, for in so doing you'll both save yourself and them that hear you. So that's true. God speaks through men, preachers, preachers of the gospel. God speaks to people through his servants. But we're faced with a dilemma. We've got a problem. While we know that God has his faithful preachers, I know that and you know that, God's never left himself without a witness. He does have a witness. He's had a witness in every generation. And while we know that God has his faithful preachers in this world, there are many false preachers. There are many false prophets. There are many religious con men in this world. And we've had that brought seriously to our attention just in the past few days. And in the past few weeks and months, the many religious con artists, people making merchandise of the souls of men, people using religion to further their own cause. Our Lord said in Matthew 7, beware of false preachers. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but within they're ravening wolves. So beware of these false preachers. You'll know them by their fruits. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, verse 1 and 2, Peter writes this, but there were false prophets among Israel, way back in the Old Testament days. False prophets, many of them among the people of Israel. Now watch this. Even as there shall be false teachers and preachers among you. And here's the tragic results. He said, now back in the days of Israel, there were many false preachers. And he said, among you, even among the early church, even a few years after our Lord was crucified and rose from the grave, he said, even among you, there'll be false preachers. And here's the tragic results. And many shall follow their pernicious or lascivious ways. And through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. What are you to them? So much merchandise to be used for their gain. To be used for, they use people. These false preachers use people for their profit, for their gain, for their glory. In other words, there are many of them. There are many false preachers. The world's full of them. Always has been since the days of the Apostle Peter. They pass themselves off as ministers of God. They pass themselves off as ministers of righteousness. He said even Satan himself comes as an angel of light. And so it's no marvel that his ministers pass themselves off as ministers of righteousness. And they use the Bible. And they use religious phrases and religious words. And they make merchandise of people, using people to get rich or to get famous or to advance themselves. Now, that's a dilemma. God has his true preachers, but the world's full of false preachers and false religious con artists. Now, how can we detect false preachers? How can we tell the difference? How can we be sure a man is a true servant of God and not an enemy of the truth? Whom do we believe when their words are so similar, when they read from the same Bible, when they say the same hallelujahs and praise the Lord and healing and all this sort of stuff, talk about heaven? How do we tell the difference? That's John's subject in 1 John chapter 4. That's what we're dealing with right here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Now, you look at these words. I told you to get your Bible. This is important. In 1 John 4, verse 1, John says, Beloved, speaking to believers, children of God, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but rather try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. John repeats what Peter said. Don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits. Now, what does the word spirit there signify? When he says, Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits, because many false preachers have gone out into the world. The word spirit here signifies a person, like myself, who claims to be endowed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who claims to be endowed with the gift to perform the office of preacher or prophet or teacher, who claims to be endowed with the gift to speak for God. He said, now don't you believe every preacher. Don't you believe everybody that comes to you in the name of religion. Don't believe everybody that comes to you in the name of God. Try the spirits. We're not to believe everyone who lays claim to the calling of preacher or to the distinction of teacher. But he says, try these spirits. Try them. Try these preachers. Put them to the test. Put me to the test. Put everyone you hear to the test. Well, how are they? What's the test? How are they to be tried? Here it is. Try them by the Word of God. Now, I don't mean a few pet verses that people take out of the Scripture and use for their own causes and their own purposes and the advancement of their own programs. I'm talking about using all the Word of God. You become so familiar with all the Word of God. The Word of God is one book, one message, one glorious gospel. And don't single out this verse and that verse and make it to mean what you want it to mean. Become so familiar with the whole Word of God that you can put a preacher to the test by the Word of God. Listen to what Isaiah 8:20 says. For if they speak not according to the Word of God, it's because there's no truth in them. When a man keeps giving his revelations and his opinions and his thoughts and all of these things, and he doesn't speak according to the Word of God, it's because he's got no light, no truth. The truth's not in him. And Acts 17:11, talking about the people of Berea, it says they were more noble than the Thessalonians because when they heard Paul preach, yes, Paul, the apostle, when they heard Paul preach, they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were true. They went home and searched the Scriptures. You see, the Word of God is our only rule of faith and practice. False preachers use parts of the Scripture, not all the Scripture. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, what about the miracles, Brother Mayer? You'll find most of them are phony. But what about miracles? What about signs? What about miraculous things that men claim? You know what the great Martin Luther said? Martin Luther once said this, there are many false preachers in this world. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. If they speak not according to God's word, don't believe them, even if it snows miracles. Even if it snows miracles and signs. Beloved, believe not every spirit, every preacher. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Try them by the word of God. Now look at verse 2, 1 John 4:2. Hereby, this is the way. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Here's how we know if a man has the Spirit of God. If a man is truly a preacher of God, if he is a true servant of God, here's the way we know it. Here's a sure sign. Every spirit, every preacher that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the world, is of God. Every preacher that confesseth, is that what I said? Every preacher that confesseth that Jesus Christ is coming to the world in the flesh, that preachers of God. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every preacher that confesses that Jesus Christ is come from heaven into the world, he is of God. You see, every true preacher of God is clear and plain in what he preaches about Jesus Christ, about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows who he is. He knows why he came into this world. He knows what he did. He knows where he is now. He knows why he did what he did. And you can determine, this is what John is saying, when you're trying the preacher, you can determine if a man is a true preacher by what he preaches about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. Now it says he came into the world. I didn't come into the world. I was born in this world. I didn't exist before I was born. You couldn't say Henry Mahan is coming to the world because I had no pre-existence. None whatsoever. When I was conceived in my mother's womb by my father, that seed was ever heard from. But when Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he came from heaven and inhabited that body that God prepared for him. This is what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. No question about it. He is coming to the world. He wasn't just born in this world. He came deliberately on purpose. He came from heaven into this world and inhabited that body which God prepared for him. Jesus Christ is God. He's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning. All things, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Yes, he's God Almighty. The Word was made flesh. God became a man. God was in Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of all Scripture, Old and New Testament. Jesus Christ is the only revelation of God Almighty. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son hath declared him. You see, Christ was made of the flesh according to the seed of David. He was declared to be the Son of God. He was made what he was not before, the seed of David. He was declared to be what he always is, was and is and shall be. He's the surety of the everlasting covenant. He's the only prophet, priest, and king. He's the whole foundation of acceptance with God. We're accepting the Beloved. He's the cornerstone of the living temple. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the prophet said, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called. This is the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Show us the Father, the disciples said to the Lord Jesus. He said, have I been with you this long and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus Christ is coming to the world. You see, the whole question regarding your relationship with God hinges on your answer to this question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son actually is he? What think ye of Christ? Whose son actually is he? You see, Jesus Christ is come from heaven in the flesh. He was made of a woman. He became a real man. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made for a time in the likeness of sinful flesh, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the Christ. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And all the tongues shall declare that he's Lord. You see, he came here. Why did he come? As our representative. You see, in a man we fail, in a man we restored. In a representative man called Adam, we became sinners. In a representative man called the God-man, we were made righteous. See, by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And by the disobedience of one, we were made sinners. By the obedience of this second man, we were made righteous. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, took a human body and came into this world as a substitute. And as our substitute and representative, he made full satisfaction for our sins. When we really, clearly, plainly declare that Jesus Christ is coming to the world in the flesh as a man, what we're telling people is this: our true condition is to such extreme that it took God himself in human form to redeem us. Christ said this, "I'm come that they might have life." Well, that means we're dead. Isn't that right? Christ said, "I'm come into the world to seek and to save the lost." That means we're lost. It says, "Christ died for the ungodly." That means we're without God. The scripture says God was in Christ reconciling the world. That means we were enemies. So we're dead. We're lost. We're without God. We're enemies. And Christ came to change that. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You see, when we preach Jesus Christ came into the world, we also preach the holiness of God. He must come. He must be lifted up. That's what he said. The Son of Man must be lifted up. There's no way around it. Job laid the foundation of that when he asked this question: how can man be just with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Why, the moon, the stars, they shine not. Nothing is clean in God's sight. How much more abominable is man? So how are we going to be just with God? That's why he came, to enable God to be just and justify us. He says in 1 Peter, Christ once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He obeyed every law and gave us a perfect righteousness. He died under the curse of God's law. He died under the wrath of God and gave us justification. You see, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we're healed. He represented us. Every preacher who preaches that Jesus Christ, who he is, came into this world, lived and died perfectly. That's what he did. Enabling God to be just and justified. That's why he did it. Has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, where he is our intercessor. That's where he is now. And the preacher preaches that is of God. When we preach that Jesus Christ came to earth in the flesh, we preach the certainty of his work. The certainty of his work. The sufficiency of his work. Can God fail? Would you even consider such a thing? Can God fail? What Jesus Christ, the God-man, came into this world in the flesh to do, did he do it? Did he get the job done? It says, he shall not fail. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven. I came into the world in the flesh, down from heaven, to do my Father's will. And this is my Father's will, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. For whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now look at verse 3. And every spirit or preacher that does not confess that Jesus Christ is coming to the world is not of God. Isn't that clear? If he doesn't preach Christ, who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now, came into the world, he's not of God. This is the test. A man who does not clearly define the person and work of Jesus Christ is not of God. He's not of God. What is he? Read it. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist is not anti-religion. He's not anti-morality. He's not anti-good works. He's anti-Christ, the person and work of Christ. You heard that the Antichrist shall come. Look at verse 3. He's already in the world. Every spirit that confesseth not, every preacher that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the world in the flesh to redeem sinners is not of God. He is Antichrist. And you've heard that the Antichrist will come. He's already come. Now he says, verse 4, you are of God, little children. You have overcome these evil spirits, these false preachers. You know them. You can detect them. You can discern them. You're not deceived by them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can detect a false message. And you can detect a true message. He said these preachers are of the world. They speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. And he that heareth God heareth us. And he that's not of God will not hear us. Write for this message if you want it. It's on tape. I'll have another message on the same tape I'll preach next week. Send $2 and we'll mail it to you. Jesus Christ is coming to the world. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.